This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of economy? Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like how to get real value from points and not just a tiny reward at checkout, the smartest ways to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day game, and how to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Where to stay in Vancouver for the 2026 World Cup, the 8 best areas near BC Place, and this is a local's guide. As someone who's called Vancouver home for almost 7 years, I feel like I can give you a pretty good position on where you should stay during the World Cup. Now, in June, the city is going to welcome fans from all over the world, so choosing the right neighbourhood can make a huge difference to your experience. So in this episode, I'm breaking down 8 different areas you can base yourself whilst in Vancouver, highlighting the pros and cons and what kind of traveller each spot suits the best. And the best part is, these neighbourhoods aren't just great for the World Cup, they're also great places to stay when visiting Vancouver at any time of the year. So whether you're into nightlife, coffees, waterfront views, activities, exercise, local vibes, or easy transport to the stadium, this guide will have it all. So let's dive straight in. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, an unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, "What if I just went for it and traveled?" If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. First up, I want to mention the stadium. It's called BC Place, and it's the main stadium in downtown Vancouver, and will host the World Cup matches in the city. It's located right on the edge of the downtown core next to False Creek, and it's easily recognisable by its huge retractable white roof that lights up the night. The stadium sits between neighbourhoods like Yale Town, Gastown and Chinatown, and it's incredibly well connected by public transport, which we'll get into in a bit. And the Stadium Chinatown SkyTrain station is just steps away, and also the Yale Town Metro station is close too. So because of its central location, many of the Vancouver's most popular neighbourhoods are either walkable or just a short train or bus ride away, or even an Uber. So it's quite a useful landmark when deciding to base yourself. So as we go through these neighbourhoods, I'll mention roughly how far they are from BC Place, the bus routes and numbers, a rough estimate of the time if you're driving, if you want to get an Uber, and just general bits and pieces about the general area as well. And out of these places I'm going to mention, I've lived in 3 of them out of 8. So I do have a pretty good knowledge of quite a few of them. And because I've been here for 7 years, I feel like I know each of these areas quite well. First up, number 1 is the West End. So West End is one of the most livable and scenic neighbourhoods in Vancouver, and it sits between downtown, the ocean, and right next to Stanley Park. So it has a relaxed residential feel, but whilst being really close to the city centre. The distance to the stadium is about a 25 to 30 minute walk. Or if you're feeling a bit lazy, you can jump on the bus. The 250 or the 257 on West Georgia Street will get you to near the stadium. Just get off at the last stop and walk the last bit. Or you can get the number 6 bus on Davie Street, which will take you near to the stadium as well. Uber rides are going to be about 10 minutes, probably not even that. Depends how busy the day is. but yeah, probably 5 to 7 minutes through Lyft or Uber. I would actually recommend personally of getting down to the waterfront and walk the Sea Walk all the way around to Canada Place through Gastown and up to the stadium. It's a great walk, great views, and it'd be glorious on a sunny day. The accommodation options in West End are going to be Airbnbs, boutique smaller hotels, suite hotels, and guest houses by English Bay and Stanley Park. So let's get into the pros and cons. The pros first for this place. It's close to beaches on English Bay and Sunset Beach. They're about a 10, 15, 20 minute walk away. And it's also easy access to Stanley Park, which you can walk. It's about an 8K round trip in and out. And it's very flat along the water. So if you start at English Bay, walk around Stanley Park, you'll finish at around the Marina Bay area. You'll get all types of views, 360 degree views along that walk. And it'll probably take about 2 hours. You can run it in an hour, maybe, if you're quick. There are tons of restaurants, bars, and cafes along Denman Street and Davie Street in West End. So some favourites of mine are Hook, Craft Beer, Red Umbrella Cafe, Red Accordion Cafe, Greenhorn Cafe, Noah's Caf, and the Cactus Club on the beachfront in English Bay. So it's very walkable and quieter than downtown. Now the cons, there's no direct SkyTrain access. So if you get a SkyTrain from the airport, you'll probably get off at Vancouver City Centre or Yale Town. But if you want to get to West End, I'll get off at Granville Street or Vancouver City Centre and then maybe get an Uber or a taxi just across the West End because you're going to have all your stuff with you. In a normal day today, that'll probably be a 20-minute walk, but with your luggage, you want to get an Uber from there. Also, hotels will be pricey in the summer because this is a very nice little area. Leafy streets, beaches either side, Stanley Park. And it's got a mix, actually. You'll see some high-rise with some hotels and some apartments in there, but also these nice little heritage buildings on certain streets as well. So it's a mix and a combo of both. So it can be pretty pricey, but you do pay for the area as it's so close to downtown. So it's best for travellers who want a balance of nature, beach access, and easy access to downtown. Number two is Kitsilano. This is an area that I've lived in before, and it's often called Kits. This is one of Vancouver's most iconic beach neighbourhoods, known for its laid-back lifestyle, yoga studios, and amazing mountain views. We used to live there, and we absolutely loved it. Distance to the stadium, so it's about a 15-20 minute drive or bus ride from False Creek to BC Place. I would catch the number two bus to downtown, get off at Burrard Station and walk the rest. Alternatively, you can get the 84 bus across the Canby Bridge by Olympic Village and walk over the bridge to BC Place. There'll be some great views along that walk as well. Accommodation here is mostly going to be Airbnbs or short-term rentals. Very limited options on hotels. So the pros, of course, the beautiful beaches of Kitsilano Beach and Jericho Beach with a seawall walk. They are pretty spectacular, especially on a hot summer's day. They also have a park run on Spanish Banks, if you're into your park runs. Great cafes and restaurants along West 4th Avenue and Broadway with favourites such as Platform 7 Cafe, amazing croissants in there. Terra V, East is East, Arbutus Coffee House, Sophie's Cosmic Cafe, does my favourite brunch in Vancouver, the Santa Fe, you won't regret it, and Cafe on U. For bars, there is a place called Local by Kitsilano Beach. There's Earl's on Broadway, there's the Regal Beagle on Broadway, there's Elwood's, and the new Batch location, which has great views of the beach and the mountains in the distance. That's right on the beach by Kits Beach. My favourite place to go for coffee there has got to be Kits Beach Coffee House. I just love the vibe. It's right by the beach. Amazing. So this area is relaxed. It's like a local Vancouver vibe with a mix of students, young professionals, families, and more affluence as well. The cons are, again, no SkyTrain station. It is coming. I think it's coming this year, actually. Might be too late for the World Cup. That goes to Arbutus Street. And it can be quite far away, depending where you stay in Kits. If you're more towards Granville Street, not too far. But if you're more towards the university called UBC, then it's quite far from the downtown areas. Best for travellers who want a beach vibe and a relaxed local neighbourhood feel. Number three is Yale Town. This is one of the most modern parts of Vancouver, full of sleek condo towers, trendy restaurants, and waterfront walkways along False Creek, and it's right next to the stadium. This is, I would say, the best location next to BC Place. It's about a 5 minute walk, if that. Also, the Yale Town Metro Station has a direct link to the airport, so even better. And the accommodation options here will be mainly hotels. So some pros for you, very close to the stadium. Easy access from the airport, tons of great restaurants and nightlife options, many breweries, sports bars, eateries covering different cuisines, open late establishments, and more of a sports feel being close to the stadium. If there's going to be any activities relating to the game, it's probably going to be in Yale Town, so this is the place to be for that. But also being next to that metro station, you can get to other parts of Vancouver as well. I absolutely love Yale Town. I think if I could live somewhere next, it would be Yale Town. It's a bit pricey on the accommodation prices, but also for rental prices, but it is right in the thick of it. Amazing access to every part of downtown Vancouver and just a great vibe in general. The cons for you staying there during the World Cup is going to be one of the most expensive areas in Vancouver to stay. It's going to be super, super busy during the major events like the World Cup and not much variety apart from the hotels for accommodation. So this is best for drinking, nightlife, walking distance to the matches and getting that vibe of a sporting occasion. Number four is Olympic Village and Mount Pleasant. So the Olympic Village was built for athletes during the 2010 Winter Olympics and today is a vibrant waterfront neighbourhood with parks, breweries and great views of the skyline. And just behind that is Mount Pleasant as well. It's that weird bit between Canby Street and Kitts. So Mount Pleasant is cool as well because it has more restaurants and cafes, definitely a more neighbourhood feel, and it has a bit more options than Olympic Village for hotels and accommodations. In terms of distance to the stadium, it's about a 20-25 minute walk along False Creek and over the Canby Bridge to the stadium. I would walk it from here. I wouldn't even bother with a bus or SkyTrain unless you're going deep into Mount Pleasant. And that depends where you are based. If you're on Granville Street, I'd get the number 10 bus straight into downtown and walk. If you're around Canby Street area, I'd get one of the SkyTrains on Canby Street. So the SkyTrain hugs that street to the airport. Jump on there and get off at Olympic Village or Yale Town. Accommodation options here will be mainly guest houses, bed and breakfasts, and Airbnb condos. The pros, a beautiful waterfront sea walk, which goes around to downtown English Bay and Stanley Park. You can go literally all the way around. You can get little boats across the harbour. It's close to breweries and cafes along the waterfront walk, and it has easy SkyTrain access at the Olympic Village metro stop, which goes to the airport. Cons, limited hotel options, and very, very quiet if you're after nightlife and some drinking establishments. There are a few, but it's not that vibe. And it's definitely more of a family feel. This is best for travellers who want scenic walks, local food spots, and easy transit into downtown. Just a quick pause in the episode there. If you're enjoying the podcast and getting value from these conversations, one of the biggest ways you can support Winging It is by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. It generally helps the show reach new listeners and keeps the podcast growing. And it's free and it only takes a few minutes. Alternatively, if you'd like to support the podcast in another way, you can also buy me a coffee over at buymeacoffee.com/winginit. It's a simple way to help cover hosting, gear, and the time that goes into creating these episodes. And I seriously appreciate every coffee that I receive. It's only $5. You can also head to winginittravelpodcast.com to book your travel through my affiliate links. That just means that if you book your flights, accommodation, or travel gear through those links, it helps support the podcast at no extra cost to you. And it allows me to keep sharing these stories from the road. And finally, if you know someone who loves travel, storytelling, or meaningful conversations, please share the podcast, whether that's by word of mouth, sending an episode to a friend, or posting it on social media. It really does make a huge difference. Right, let's get back into the episode. Number five is West Vancouver, but specifically Park Royal and Ambleside locations. So across the bridge at Stanley Park is West Vancouver. It's a much more quieter, more scenic area with incredible ocean views, and Ambleside Beach is awesome too. Distance to the stadium, so it's going to be a 20-30 minute Uber or bus ride across the Lionsgate Bridge to BC Place. It will be quicker at quieter parts of the day, but if it's really busy, you can be queued up on that bridge, so bear that in mind. In terms of bus numbers, I would get the 250 or the 257 that goes right down to Yale Town, which I mentioned in the West End part of this episode. And the accommodation options here will be mainly Airbnbs. The pros, stunning ocean and mountain scenery. You've got the Seawall Walk from Ambleside Beach all the way to Dunderave. Beautiful beaches. Quieter, more relaxed than downtown. Quick access to downtown via Uber or bus in quiet times. Close access to mountains like Cypress Mountain. And you're not too far from Horseshoe Bay for ferries to other islands in the area for day trips or weekend trips on your big trip to Vancouver. Great cafes such as Crema, The Shed, Etc. And Earl's by Ambleside Beach opens late for drinks and dinner. And Park Royal is a shopping complex, so it has food courts, cinemas and supermarkets too. So the cons is the public transport. It's going to take a bit longer to get to BC Place. Hardly any nightlife. Very, very few hotels. One pro I thought of you could do, and you're going to have to get in there early, there's actually a campsite by the bridge. I know it gets booked out pretty quickly. So if you have a camper van, you could probably park yourself there for a week. It'd be cheaper than a hotel, and you can walk or bus that into downtown. So it's best for visitors who want a peaceful base with amazing views, don't mind commuting to games, and a much, much quieter feel and more local feel rather than downtown or Yale Town. Number six is North Vancouver, Lower Lonsdale. If you look at the map on Vancouver, you're going to see a bit of water where the port is. So downtown is one side and the other side is North Vancouver. Lower Lonsdale is a lively waterfront district with markets, breweries, and a fantastic skyline view of downtown. You're going to have to take the sea bus from Lonsdale Quay into downtown and vice versa. On the downtown side, you have to walk to BC Place about 20, 25 minutes. So essentially for this place, it's going to be a sea bus in and out of downtown. It's pretty cool. Goes across the harbour. Great views. It's just an extra bit of admin to think about. Now, you're probably thinking, why not drive or get an Uber? But if you look at the map, it's right bang in the middle of the two bridges. It would just be so long to get to downtown any other way apart from the boat. You can entertain a bus, but go at quieter parts of the day if you can. Accommodation options are going to be budget and top hotels as well as Airbnbs. The pros, incredible mountain views, great food, and so many craft breweries on this side of the water. You could probably do 10 in one evening. So some cafe favorites, some great coffee this side. You've got Nemesis Cafe, one of the best coffees in North America, Shipyards and 49th Parallel. Some favorite breweries of ours that you can go and visit are Streetcar Brewing, North Point Brewing, Beer Brewing, Finch and Barley, and Shaketown Brewing. These are great options for breweries if you're looking for that type of atmosphere. The easy scenic ferry connection to downtown every 15 minutes is a dream if you're based in North Van. But I would say, so coming to cons, of course, you're going to have to get the ferry. Accommodation options can be limited and a bit expensive. And also, if you're looking at Upper Lonsdale, that is a steep hill. Be wary of that. This is best for travelers who want mountains, outdoor adventures, and a unique commute across the harbour. If you're looking for outdoor activities like mountain biking, skiing, walking on mountains, there is easy access from here up to Grouse Mountain. And that's one of the top things to do in Vancouver, is doing the Grouse Grind. Number seven, Gastown. It's one of Vancouver's oldest neighborhoods, and it's one of the most historic, known for its cobblestone streets, heritage buildings, and the famous Gastown steam clock. Not going to spend too much time in this area. It's in between the harbor and Yale Town. So it's east side downtown. It's going to be around a 15-minute walk to BC Place. Only hotels are options here for accommodation. So it's got a historic charm and character, and it is as old as it gets for Canada and Vancouver. They have great restaurants and cocktail bars here. So a bit like Yale Town, there's going to be some places open late, and it's a very central location. The cons, however, it can feel rough in certain areas at night, especially around the downtown east side core. This is where people who are homeless, who live in tents, they all gather around the east side of downtown. I personally don't find this too bad, but obviously it can be shocking for tourists to see this. So just bear that in mind. Also, a con of this place is when the cruise ships are in, and there can be three in the summer, this place is super, super busy with cruise ship tourists. So be wary of that if you're booking a place to stay in the summer. So best for travelers who enjoy history, nightlife, and a lively urban atmosphere. And finally, number eight is the downtown Vancouver itself. The heart of the city, the most convenient base if your priority has been close to the World Cup action at BC Place. You're going to be within walking distance of BC Place, probably 15 minutes, and other venues like Rogers Arena and stuff like that. If you're looking to go see some gigs or other sports, every kind of hotel you can imagine here across many budgets. So the pros are a plethora of options in the city. It's going to be mixed between business, good value, cheap, nasty, everything you can imagine. So all the options are available. Excellent public transport links connecting to the hotel and other parts of the Vancouver area. Super close to restaurants, shops and attractions. A mix of culture, business and waterfront views. And any other events that are happening in Vancouver will be happening here. The cons can be expensive and busy and crowded during major events and weekends. This is best for fans who want maximum convenience and easy access to everything during the tournament and access to Vancouver as a city. Some extra areas in downtown. It's quite a big area to check out. Granville Street is one of the streets to go and see. The waterfront by Canada Place has great views over the North Shore and has views of the mountains. And if you're into your shopping, there's a couple of shopping malls on Granville Street. They're worth checking out as well. Right, let's head to the summary. I want to give you a few extra bit of details for Vancouver, and I might give you a cheeky activity for each of those areas to finish, but I will do a deep dive on that on another episode. So miscellaneous. So transport costs are going to cost around $3 to $3.20 each way for 90 minutes. So for example, if you dipped on the metro station and you got off, walked, had a coffee, but then 80 minutes later, you got on the bus, no cost. But you just need to tap on and off, and you can use a Compass card, which is like the travel card in Vancouver, or your credit or debit card as well. I would use Uber or Lyft. They're the two options. And I think it's quite reasonably priced. Like, for example, I live quite near Amberside Beach. So that to downtown can cost $15 to $20 Canadian, depending on what time of day it is. If there's four of you in there, five of each, not bad. And it is a bit quicker at night as well. In terms of nighttime, I will warn you, certain bus routes are not as frequent going to some of those areas that I've mentioned. And as I said during this episode, getting to the airport and then getting to downtown is like 20, 25 minutes. It's super quick on the metro, straight from the airport, train, no messing about, much cheaper than a taxi. A taxi will cost you $40 to $50 maybe into downtown. The train will cost you $8. Meals, expect to pay between $15 and $20 Canadian per person. Coffees are going to be between $3.50 and $4. Beer, it's going to cost around $10 to $12 for a reasonably sized beer. Glass of wine is roughly the same as well. I don't drink that much, so I'm not too clued up on that. And also want to say, for day-to-day activities, you're going to be hanging around $20, $25. That's kind of the average price for anything, really. Let's finish with a cheeky activity in each area. Let's go back to the start. West End. I mean, I've mentioned it before. It's a bit of a cop-out, but I would just go and walk or run or bike Stanley Park. It's a very popular thing to do in Vancouver. It's one of the top things to do in Vancouver. And on a great summer's day, it's such a good view all the way around. Just bear in mind, it's in and out. If you're biking, it's one way only, so you can't just go both ways on the bike lane. But walking is both ways. Kitsilano, I would walk between beaches. If you're a bit of a beach bum, start at Kitsilano Beach, then walk up towards UBC along the seawall, and you'll get to Spanish Banks and Jericho Beach. Amazing beaches, big beaches, lots of space, lots of cafes and restaurants around there as well. So you can have a nice little beach day in Kits. I do miss it, to be fair. Yale Town, where do you start? I would get out on the piss in Yale Town at the breweries, get your drinking in, especially before or after a game, and stay out late because it's the best place in Vancouver to go out. Got to be done. Olympic Village or Mount Pleasant, you're going to have to go to Granville Island. It's one of the things I've seen do in Vancouver. Independent stalls, food, drinks, great little walks, great donuts, great events, like some comedy events there, some little gigs as well, all on an island. You can get a bus there, you can get a boat there, or you can walk there. Great transport links. West Vancouver, Ambleside, my top tip is to get an Uber, or if you have a car, drive up Cypress Mountain halfway, go to the Shed. It's a cafe slash pizzeria on top of a hill overlooking the whole of downtown core Vancouver and Kitsilano. Great views up there. Get a coffee, take your umbrella and a hat, sit on the bank and enjoy the views. Top notch. North Vancouver, I mentioned it in the actual episode, but you're going to have to go on a brewery tour. And there's so many in two or three blocks that you can spend all evening dotting around different breweries having a beer. Gastown, I do laugh at this, but people go and see the Gastown steam clock. It's kind of one of the oldest things to see and do in Vancouver. So I'm giving you a bit of a cop out there, but you've got to go and see it. It starts steaming and making noises at certain parts of the day and certain times. Downtown Vancouver, I would get on Granville Street, go to the Orpheum and see a show. It could be a comedy show, it could be a gig, anything. Just get down there and watch something. Great vibes. So there we have it. That's Vancouver in a nutshell. I hope that helps you plan your World Cup trip and gives you some ideas where to stay in Vancouver, big city. But I've not even mentioned three or four places that are a bit further out. So hopefully this helps you plan your trip. Overall, the Vancouver vibe is much more nature, fitness, outside stuff rather than indoor activities. Make sure you get on the seawall walks, waterfronts, up the mountains, on the beaches, and you'll absolutely love your time here. when your team comes to Vancouver to play in the World Cup. And I just want to finish with, come on England, see you there. And that's it for this episode on Winging It. I hope you took something from this episode, whether it sparked a new idea, offered a different perspective, or simply let you feel part of the journey. If you enjoyed it, leaving a quick rating or review on your podcast app really helps the show reach new listeners. And if you know someone who might connect with this episode, share it by word of mouth or social media. It makes a huge difference. Head to voyescape.com for more amazing travel podcasts as well. And thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, keep winging it.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights, and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.